The following programming is sponsored by Ask the Experts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Welcome to the Ask the Experts show, sponsored by the Cardamone Law Firm for Injured Workers. Now sit back as Philadelphia's top experts in the legal, health, financial, and home improvement world educate you in the fields of workers' comp law, wealth management, family law, estate planning, pain management, and more. Call in now if you have a question for our experts at 888-329-3306. Now let's welcome our host, Steve O.
Hey, good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to another Ask the Experts show where we bring you Philadelphia's finest experts in the fields of legal, health, financial, and home improvement. I want to apologize about last week. I have a new system that we're testing out, and it didn't pass the test last week. So we are totally prepared. Angela, if we should drop a call, I am on phone also, so we'll just keep going and we will just have an incredible show. Good morning, attorney Angela Giampolo.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Wait a minute, it's too sunny for you to be in Philadelphia.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia. What are you talking about?
Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
God, we've got so much to talk about today. And as always, I just get amazed that every week people write and say, I found your show when I was going through the dials and I didn't keep going. I just kept listening. And so our show is really, even though the show has been running for 6 years now, your show is really gaining traction and you're helping, like I always say, if we could just touch one person every week, we're doing our job. But because we're getting so many new people, tell people about you, about your firm before we get started.
Yeah, so Giampolo Law Group has been around now since 2008. I started the firm as sort of an advocacy outreach, if you will. I saw at the time that in the United States, that was around when Bush was trying to amend the Constitution to ban gay marriage. And I'm Canadian originally, and I saw, you know, how different, even though you could throw a rock and hit Canada, how different the legal landscape was as it relates to LGBTQ issues. And so there wasn't a law firm out there geared solely towards the LGBTQ community for all of their legal needs, not just the legal needs, you know, around family law or reproductive law, but around real estate and estate planning and business law, right? So just a law firm geared solely towards the LGBTQ community for all of our legal needs. And that wasn't being filled as a pain point. So, So Giampolo Law Group was born, and it's been going on 15 years, going strong, and in the midst of expanding now into other areas where people need representation, out LGBTQ legal assistance. And I created, in the midst of Trump getting elected and his inauguration, so between November and January 20th of 2016 and 17, I formed the Caravan of Hope, a nonprofit. The tagline is RV there yet. Hold on. Awesome. We have landscapers coming.
Oh, good.
And so Nico is going to bark.
Yeah.
Behind me. Wonderful. Say hi, everyone.
All part of the live broadcast.
Right? Exactly. Nico wasn't too bad. So the Caravan of Hope's maiden voyage is going to be in November. We're going to hit up 13 cities and spend the night in these small towns, in these rural areas, and ultimately provide legal services to people that otherwise wouldn't ever find someone like me. You know, they live in a very small area and they don't have an out lawyer anywhere near them. So I'm very much looking forward to that, actually traveling cross country and getting a sense of what the sentiment is in these small towns, and sort of getting out of the bubble and the haven that is Philadelphia, and really getting into the underserved, underrepresented communities and hearing what their fears are and what it's like for them. And so that'll be around November, around Thanksgiving time.
You are so gutsy to do. I mean, because just tell people some of the cities that you're going to be targeting.
Yeah, I mean, from anywhere from Fort Worth, Mobile, Alabama, you know, Heartland stuff, towns. Those are towns that you've heard of. You know, there are going to be towns that we've never heard of. And that's the point, right, is that's where no one ever heard of Laramie, Wyoming, until Matthew Shepard, you know, was killed there. And so that put Laramie on the map. But so that small towns like that, before they become famous for a massive hate crime, you know, those small towns, there's gay people in all these small towns. And they don't have representation that looks like them or that is like them. So,
well, we're talking to Attorney Angela Giampolo. She works with the LGBTQ community, and she actually devotes most of her practice to estate planning, family law, employment law, and real estate law. And today we are talking estate planning. And I guess my first question is, what is a three-legged stool?
So a three-legged stool is what we say all of our clients sit on, that minimally a three-legged stool, right? So if you don't have in your team of advisors, an accountant, especially if you're a business owner, but even if you're not a business owner, but if you're a business owner, it's CYA, you must have an accountant as part of your three-legged stool, the estate planning attorney, and the financial advisor. So all too often people will come to me and I do their estate planning, but there's so much of it that involves them talking to a financial planner or that involves them talking to an accountant, and not enough lawyers or financial advisors or accountants say, you know, do you have a good advisor, a financial advisor, let's say. And if the answer is no, then it's on me as your estate planning attorney to connect you with someone like that, right? So that's one of the first assessments that I make on an initial consult with a client is, so tell me a little bit about yourself. And we start talking, and then at some point, you know, the opportunity will arise. We'll be talking about something. Maybe they're telling me about, then I have this rolled over 401k from this job I had, and then I have another 401k from this job. And it sounds like they have accounts all over the place. And I'm like, well, do you have a financial advisor by chance? Because you make more money with more money. So we should consolidate all those accounts, roll them all into one. You shouldn't have four different, you know, rollover from your four different past jobs. They should all be in one. But that's not for me to tell. I know enough to know when, oh, that sounds like they don't have a financial advisor, because their finances wouldn't look like that if they had a professional, right? So through that initial hour-long conversation, I'm listening for things like that. Oh, you know, my wife and I are looking to get married, but we've been together 17 years filing as single people. We have no idea what it's going to be like to file as a joint married couple. Well, my accountant will do tax returns, dummy tax returns, they call it, as part of a consultation for the client. Listen, you haven't been married for the last 17 years. You've been filing as single for the last 17 years. If you got married in 2022, let's say, this is what your taxes would look like. And then if they're a business owner, or if they own real estate, like I do, or crypto, having an accountant that is knowledgeable about real estate, especially, and or crypto, you're getting divorced. People come to me for estate planning through a divorce, right? They need new wills. They need new powers of attorney. Well, the financial planning around divorcing, right? Now you get this lump sum, or you're going back to the workforce for the first time in however long. A good financial plan for the first 5 years post-divorce is key. Or, you know, you get a lump sum out of a divorce of $100,000 of equitable distribution. What to do with that money? Do you make put a down payment on a house in this market, you know, or do you hold off, or right? All questions that come up because they came to me, but that really aren't for me to handle or shouldn't be. And that's
so
the three-legged.
Do you bring in a wealth management team?
Yep, I refer. So in that first hour, I get to know them well enough that right off the bat, out of everyone I work with, I know who they would work best with, right? So that person would really get along with so-and-so, or that person would really get along with so-and-so. So I usually tell them, listen, from the little bit that I know you, I've only known you for 50 minutes, right? So I'm by no means your best friend, but because you've said this about that and you love crypto or you hate crypto or whatever, you know, I think so-and-so would be a good fit for you because she does this, does that, you know, whatever. With that said, I still refer them to two or three different people so that they can pick, but I definitely tell them who I recommend and why based on having gotten to know them.
I think that's great because, I mean, you can show them their needs in other areas, but they don't know who to go to. And at least they trust you, which I think is really good. I have to get this in because two people have written. Could you just tell people how important a will is, even if you don't have a lot of income or a lot of money?
Yeah, I mean, even if you only have debt, even if you're a bajillion dollars in debt or student loans or what have you, right? Like, ultimately, we don't even want money going through the will. So the will is not, that's what revocable living trusts are for. We want to die in this country without really ever using the will. But unfortunately, everyone needs a will because it's the only document that nominates your executor, the only. You die without a will. So again, you're a bajillion dollars in debt. But in order to appoint your executor, you still need a will. So it doesn't matter. And then especially if you have children, okay, it's the only document that can nominate the guardian of your children in death. So you can have guardians while you're alive. You can appoint so-and-so legal guardian, so-and-so legal guardian. But upon death, that expires. And the will is the only document that appoints your guardian. So for those two reasons alone, everyone in this country needs a will. It's the only document that appoints your executor, whether you have four different complicated trusts because you're a millionaire, doesn't matter. Everyone has a will. Not everyone has a trust, but everyone should have a will. And it also is the only document that appoints the guardian of your child.
Angela, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the healthcare power of attorney and how it differs from a living will. We are here with attorney Angela Giampolo. She works in the areas of estate planning, family law, employment law, real estate law. Angela, give everybody your office phone number.
Sure, 215-645-2415. And you can email me at angelajampolo.com. And the website is giampololaw.com.
Beautiful. We're going to go to break. We come back, we'll have more with attorney Angela Giampolo. We'll be right back.
Giampolo Law Group is so passionate about estate planning, they went so far as to trademark, where there's a will, there's a way. A properly structured trust will avoid putting your loved ones through the expensive, lengthy, and emotionally draining court probate process. Most important, you can prevent some or all of your assets from being subject to estate law upon your death, allowing more of your estate to be enjoyed by your loved ones. The marriage equality ruling drastically changed the legal landscape for LGBTQ
LGBTQ couples, and Giampolo Law Group is experienced with what those changes mean for estate planning. Giampolo Law Group can help you establish or reorganize your estate plan to address your concerns while accounting for the complexities in state and federal laws. The attorneys at Giampolo Law Group are experienced in assisting clients with estate planning, specifically in preparing or revising wills, trusts, and the other ancillary documents, such as powers of attorney and hospital visitation forms. Contact Giampolo Law Group today for a complimentary consultation. 215-398-6579. Remember, where there's a will, there's a way. You're listening to the Ask the Expert Show, sponsored by the Cardamone Law Firm for Injured Workers. Now here's your host, Steve O, and his expert guest.
And we are back. This is the Ask the Expert Show. We bring in, we educate you. These aren't commercials. We educate you in the areas of legal, health, financial, and home improvement. And the first Tuesday, the first show, our 10 o'clock show each week, is with attorney Angela Giampolo. And though she concentrates in the LGBTQ law area, she is such a wonderful attorney. I mean, if I have an estate planning problem or a family law, I'm going to her. I mean, it does. You don't have to just be associated with the LGBTQ community. She's just a fine, fine lawyer, and who cares? And that's the most important thing.
Truly.
And people don't know, you do every show with your talk and your laugh. Talk about caring. He is so cute. So, Angela, we're talking about estate planning today, and what is healthcare power of attorney, and how does that differ from a living will?
So your healthcare power, again, just like the will, everybody has a will, but not everybody has a trust. Everybody has a healthcare power of attorney, but not everyone has a living will. Now, your living will is exactly what it sounds like. You're living, you're alive, but we're about to be reading your will. So you are end stage, you are terminal. There is no realistic hope of significant recovery. So should we be in that state, then we're looking at the living will. It's like the Terry Schiavo document, if you will. And that's really what got me passionate around estate planning was, you know, here was a straight couple married, but they didn't have these documents. And so Terry ended up on life support for 12 years, right? The husband had no more power than the mom did because they disagreed on what should happen.
Right.
So just by virtue of being married, you don't have this power. Marriage gives you rights and benefits and privileges, but it doesn't give you power over one another. These documents give you the power. So many people within the LGBTQ community have gotten complacent since marriage equality. Oh, I don't need those documents. We're married. They don't give you the power. You might as well be Terry Schiavo with none of this in writing, right? And the husband even said, she said she'd haunt me for the rest of her life if she sat on life support. Well, she should have put that in writing, right? So that is your living will. That's the pull the plug or do not pull the plug document. So the healthcare power of attorney is like the macro document. You have your healthcare power of attorney has the ability to pull the plug on you by being your healthcare power of attorney, but your living will is where you get to put your choices and they can't supersede those choices, your healthcare power of attorney. So they're part of the healthcare documents. And then within the healthcare power of attorney is a HIPAA waiver or a HIPAA release, right? So it's great to have all the power in the world. Right. So now you have all the privileges and rights of marriage. You have all the power. But without HIPAA, you're not allowed to be informed. The doctor can't speak to you about what's wrong with Steve. So because you haven't signed a HIPAA waiver or HIPAA release. So I have all the power to make a decision, but I can't make an informed decision. Right. So a lot of lawyers will make the HIPAA waiver, HIPAA release, yet another document. We already have nine documents per person. That I include the HIPAA waiver, HIPAA release inside the healthcare power of attorney. So with your healthcare power of attorney and the living will, you have everything that you need from a healthcare perspective.
We just got a text from a listener wanting to know about resuscitation. Who decides that? Like, if they don't want to be resuscitated.
Exactly. That would be listed on the living will. So you would check yes or no to that, right? And the word resuscitation doesn't come up, but CPR, breathing machine. So what's on the document are actual medical procedures. Do you want CPR, yes or no? Do you want to be resuscitated by a breathing machine, yes or no? Do you want hydration? Do you want nutrition? Do you want to be fed, feeding tube? So you'll see all these choices on the living will, and you say, I do or I do not want. And then it gets into organ donation and whatnot. But yes, it's the do not resuscitate, or the DNR document, as they call it. And you take it from there.
You know, Angela, I see you with this huge checklist in your head that, you know, a person walking in off the street would have no idea. And that's why,
like that guy,
your position is so important, because you're going to let them know things that they probably never thought that you need to think about. Like, what is hospital visitation authorization form? What is it? I mean, I understand it could be the most important document in an LGBTQ estate plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so again, we're talking about our marriage and the privileges and rights that it gives us. And ultimately, we're, you know, I always say, even if Hillary Clinton had won back in 2016 and everything would have been different for the LGBTQ community, I still would be doing this document, because we're only considered married in 29 countries out of 197 that fly a flag as of today, right? So you slip, fall on the Great Wall of China, you're not considered married. You get nipped by a lion in Tanzania, it's illegal to be gay, and you don't want to be yelling, that's my husband, right? So you don't, and it's a small doc, it's a one pager. I shrink it down, laminate it, and they hold on to one another's. So it's a little bit larger than a credit card, smaller than a passport, and one another's HVA goes in the other's passport for international travel. Should anything happen with marriage equality and it get rolled back in the coming years, then instead of in the passport, it goes in the wallet. Because at that point, Tennessee will be just as dangerous as Tanzania, right? So ultimately, it doesn't give you any power. It just gets you in the room. So if you only have 5 minutes before your partner dies, you're not standing outside because you're not married. Contractually, it gets you in the room, even in places where your marriage is not recognized.
You know, we hear the word trust when it comes to estate planning. And I understand there's two main types of trust. Can you explain that to people?
There's irrevocable and revocable are sort of the macro level of the two types of trusts. Underneath that, there's like 80 different types of trusts, right? Like, for anything you can imagine. But they are either going to be revocable or irrevocable. Revocable are very easy to use for estate planning purposes because they're revocable. So we use them for specific situations. And if or when that situation is over, we can revoke it, or you can just leave it, not revoke it, and it sits empty for, let's, you know, for whatever reason. So revocable trust, especially for real estate. Real estate goes through probate because it doesn't have a beneficiary designation form. It has a deed. So the only way for real estate to avoid the probate process is for it to live inside a revocable living trust. And irrevocable trusts come with, it's irrevocable. Once you put something in there, you can sell your house inside of a revocable living trust because it's revocable. But if you were to put your house in an irrevocable trust, you can't ever get it out. Okay. You're not able to take it out. It's irrevocable. So by virtue of that, when you irrevocably put something into a trust, you get stronger tax benefits, creditor protection. There are other benefits that you get because you irrevocably gave it away. So with less control, by giving something up, you get more. But with revocable, there's no tax benefits, no creditor protection, no nothing. It's purely an estate planning tool to avoid probate.
So it depends on their situation, to which one you
absolutely
tell them they
yep
should go for. Okay.
Yep. If they're, you know, one situation that happened recently, there's a tech mogul and he's about to sell his business. Like, he's currently based almost living out of his car, but he's about to have $60 million. And there's irrevocable trust that we can set up purely for his kids' education and lifetime, where all of that will be tax sheltered because, I mean, he's going to be a bajillionaire overnight and we want to reduce as much in taxes. And since he has so much money, there's no problem with irrevocably putting some in different trusts, right? So for every, I always say, you wouldn't help your friend move in a Mini Cooper or a smart car, right? And you wouldn't drive cross country in a Denali or an F-150. So depending on the scenario, I then offer up which car or which make and model makes sense based on whatever your situation is. Are you moving cross country or are you moving down the block, right?
But people don't have to have millions of dollars.
100%. Nope. I have a client just a couple weeks ago. The house is worth $100,000, which in Philadelphia is not a lot. Putting it in the trust. She had a horrible probate experience with her mom. All the siblings fought. She doesn't want that for her siblings and her children. So she's doing everything possible to avoid any fighting. And that involves a revocable trust. And so irrespective of the money in her bank account, you know, which would not be anything that you would deem trust. It's not about the amount of money you have. It's about whether or not you want your estate to be administered orderly, easily, efficiently, and cost effectively. And trusts help do that.
Well, Angela, I haven't asked you this question in a long time, and I got to ask you. We've only got a minute. Tell people out there listening why they should retain your firm.
Sure, because we care, you know, and that sounds so cliche, and I think you said it earlier, but clients become our friends or friends become our clients, either way. But our client intake form says, welcome to the family. And I mean that. So
she does.
You know, Nico,
she does.
Nico may be mean to you, but I won't be. And yeah, I mean, we just were no BS, cost effective, right? Efficient law firm that's here for your needs, and to get you what you may not even know you need. One of my meetings today is with clients that didn't even know they needed certain things, and but it wasn't until we started talking that what they came to me for ended up being completely different than what we're doing.
That. I could
totally
see that.
So,
Angela, give everybody your phone number. And people,
sure,
please write this down.
215-645-2415. And you can email me at angela@jampolalaw. And I blog at phillygaylawyer.com.
You're the best. We're so lucky to have you. Angela will be back with us again next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. We're going to go to break. We come back. We have our business broker show. We'll be right back. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you, Steve. See you next week.